Good morning, brothers and sisters. I want to read to you once more our first reading from the Book of Wisdom. The wicked say, "Let us beset the just one, because he is obnoxious to us. He sets himself against our doings, reproaches us for transgressions of the law, and charges us with violations of our training. Let us see whether his words be true. Let us find out what will happen to him. For if the just one be the Son of God, God will defend him and deliver him from the hand of his foes. With revilement and torture, let us put the just one to the test, that we may have proof of his gentleness and try his patience. Let us condemn him to a shameful death, for according to his own words, God will take care of him." I think all of you know I have a great love for St. Bernard of Clairvaux. I think he's, in my opinion, the greatest doctor of the church. But I started to get to know him in college, and one of the first quotes I came across that is still very profound for me to this day was this: "The greatest punishment God can give for sin is pleasure. The greatest punishment God can give for sin is pleasure." And of course, he said this because if I sin and then experience pleasure afterward, what's going to happen? I'm going to want to do it again, which means I'm going to fall into more and more sin, which means I'm going to fall further and further away from God. Therefore, the worst punishment I could receive for sinning is actually pleasure. So I was discussing this with my roommate at the time. We were both in pre-theology, both discerning the priesthood. And he said to me, "If this is true, if the greatest punishment God can give for sin is pleasure, then is it true that the greatest gift God can give for virtue is pain?" So we began to discuss this and debate it. And we came to realize, not on our own, but by studying the mystics, that this is in fact actually true. The greatest gift God can give you for being virtuous is more pain. The question is why? Why is this the case? It's not like we want it to be the case. We all want to be rewarded for doing good things. It's kind of how we're raised. It's instinctual. Isn't that the main reason why we follow the Lord and strive to be virtuous, or at least go to confession and turn from sin? It's because we want the reward of heaven. We want this blessing, this benefit. So how could pain be a blessing for virtue? Again, in our first reading today, the Book of Wisdom tells us the thoughts of the wicked. You see, the wicked don't like virtuous people. They're irritated by them. The wicked say that this person is obnoxious to me. Why? Because they reproach me for my transgression of the law. Their virtue is a constant reminder of my vice, my sin. And so what does the wicked person say? "Let us see whether their words are true. Let us find out what will happen to them. Will they be saved by God if we put them to the test? If we make them suffer, will God truly deliver them? If we kill them, if we crucify them, will the Lord save them?" These virtuous people claim to have faith in God, claim to be the children of God, and that their God, their Father, will always be with them, who will never leave them. He will defend them. And so the wicked person in their wicked mind says, "Okay, let's test this theory." And this is exactly what they did to our Lord, isn't it? In our gospel, Jesus is prophesying to the disciples his coming death and resurrection. The disciples don't understand this. But the reason Jesus was killed was because of the wicked. Ultimately, us because of our sin, but in that day and age, historically, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the high priests, they hated the Lord because he was a constant reminder of their sinfulness. So these words from our first reading apply to them. But did God save Jesus? And if you just look at it from a human standpoint, did God save Jesus? From a human standpoint, no. The enemy got a hold of him, even though he was good and holy and virtuous and only ever did the right thing. They tortured him cruelly, mistreated him, crucified him, and killed him. It doesn't look like God saved him. And this is the struggle that each one of us has in regards to our own faith. We want to be like Christ. We want to believe in him. We want to believe that God will look out for us. And so we pray and we say, Lord, deliver me from the wicked. Deliver me from these evil things in the world, the evils coming against me that are causing me pain and suffering, that are trying to bring about my death. Deliver me, Lord. And according to our faith, at least in this world, our Lord does not promise to deliver any one of you. Now, he does promise to deliver you after you die, after you've suffered. Sure, then I'll deliver you, says the Lord. But in my time, in my way. So yes, it is true that we can put our faith in him. But that doesn't mean we won't be put to the test by the wicked. It doesn't mean that we won't suffer. It doesn't mean that we won't die, even unjustly. But that still doesn't answer the question as to why would God give pain to somebody who is actually doing the right thing, being virtuous? And this is where God uses the wicked person to help bring about his will. You see, God wants his virtuous children to be put to the test. God actually wants that. The scripture says God chastises those whom he loves. His own children, he chastises them. He tests them. Why? You see, the wicked is correct in thinking they can say good things, that they're gentle and humble and patient and God will deliver them, but I don't know if that's actually true. The only way to be sure of anyone's virtue or holiness is to test it. You see, we human beings are complex creatures. We can have multiple desires at the same time. What do I mean by this? I may want to be virtuous because I love God, because I want to go to heaven, because it's the right thing to do. But I may also want to be virtuous for just selfish reasons. It could be both of those things. So how do I know what my real intention is? Many of the mystics have said, even if the Lord would send me to hell, I would still follow him. I would still be virtuous. Even if I got no reward for it whatsoever, because it is good and true, it is the right thing to do. That is a perfect saint. Now, how did that saint in particular come to know that they actually believed that and would do that? It's because God had tested them. He had sent them great trials and sufferings in the midst of their holiness to see if they would continue to be holy. Because isn't that the problem that we have? We may be doing well, spiritually speaking. We're saying our prayers and we're being nice to people when things are going well for us. But suddenly, some type of suffering comes into our lives and we start becoming impatient, frustrated, resentful, judgmental, selfish. all because of a little suffering. It can happen with something small, right? You could be driving down the road and you're caught in traffic. You become just so frustrated. You might not even say anything, but just you feel it inside. Oh, I have to wait. Really? Really? Where's your virtue now? A little suffering, and suddenly your true self comes out. That's important, though. You need to know, I need to know how virtuous I truly am. Otherwise, I'll think I'm virtuous enough and that I don't have to keep growing. I'll think, oh, yeah, I'm very patient. Very patient person. Yeah, sure. You can't be sure of that until you've been tested. And traffic isn't really that big a deal. Let's say it's something worse. Let's say you are really suffering in regards to your relationship with your spouse or your parents. It's a really heavy cross that you're bearing. A lot of pain and suffering. And again, this is overwhelming you, but it reveals that lack of virtue in your life because you're not handling it like our Lord. And why is that important? Because you have not yet suffered as much as Jesus has by his spouse. Because your spouse hasn't killed you yet. You're still here. So don't be complaining to God, oh Lord, this great cross you've put on my shoulders, it's too heavy to bear. This is unfair, this is unjust, God. And you know what the Father will do? He will turn to you and he will point to his Son, and he says, you haven't suffered this much yet. What do you have to complain about? You must grow. You are not perfect in love. You see, the only way to be certain of our own growth in holiness is suffering. Now, God doesn't need to test us so that he can figure out whether we're truly virtuous or not. He already knows. He knows everything. He puts us to the test so that we know how virtuous or vicious we actually are. Because if you don't know where you are, you can't get where you want to go. If you want to be truly holy and virtuous, then you need to know how vicious you are. And so out of love for you, to fulfill the very desire of your heart and prayer, God sends you suffering because you're doing the right thing, so that you can know yourself better and then continue to grow in holiness. So St. Bernard of Clairvaux, of course, was right when he said, the greatest punishment God can give for sin is pleasure, because that would lead you to want to do it again. But it is also true that the greatest gift God can give you for virtue is pain, at least in this life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.